Good morning. This is TCT Daily Report for Thursday, April 2, 2026. I'm reading from Boston. In Commerce and Capital this morning, a story that may define the limits of American power more decisively than any battlefield reversal. The United States possesses roughly 8 weeks of rare earth supplies available for military use, according to a report published by the South China Morning Post, citing anonymous sources familiar with the matter. 8 weeks. That is the margin between the arsenal of democracy and an empty magazine. The disclosure, first reported last month and since amplified by Foreign Policy, Mining.com, and other outlets, illuminates a strategic vulnerability that American policymakers have acknowledged for years but never repaired. The Republic's near-total dependence on the People's Republic of China for the processed minerals that power its most advanced weapon systems. Consider what the first 36 hours of the campaign against Iran consumed. More than 3,000 precision-guided munitions and interceptors, according to an analysis drawing on research from the Colorado School of Mines. Every Tomahawk cruise missile, every JDAM guidance kit, every interceptor fired from a destroyer at sea contains rare earth permanent magnets, neodymium, praseodymium, dysprosium, terbium, without which the guidance and propulsion systems that define American precision warfare simply cannot function. China controls approximately 60% of global rare earth mining and more than 90% of the refining that converts raw ore into usable metals. Beijing imposed export controls on heavy rare earth elements last spring, then expanded them in October with extraterritorial licensing requirements covering any product containing even trace amounts of Chinese origin material. The South China Morning Post reported that Washington's limited inventory would dominate any meeting between Presidents Trump and Xi, and that Beijing appeared less eager for a deal than Washington. That asymmetry tells you everything you need to know about who holds the leverage in this negotiation. Turning now to the world of arts and letters, and to a courtroom confrontation that could reshape the legal foundations beneath the entire artificial intelligence industry. The publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul, a franchise that has sold more than 500 million copies and ranks among the most recognized titles in American popular culture, filed suit on March the 17th in federal court in Northern California against 8 of the most powerful technology companies on Earth. The defendants are Apple, Google, Meta Platforms, OpenAI, Anthropic, NVIDIA, Perplexity AI, and Elon Musk's xAI. The complaint, which Publishers Weekly described as advancing a novel claim, alleges that the entire architecture of modern large language model development traces its origins to a single act of piracy, the alleged downloading of copyrighted books from Library Genesis, a shadow library repeatedly enjoined by federal courts by an OpenAI employee in 2018. Those files, the filing alleges, were used to create internal datasets that trained GPT-3, the model that established OpenAI's commercial dominance. From there, the complaint maps a chain of escalation with mechanical specificity. The open-source collective Eleuther AI assembled roughly 200,000 pirated books into a publicly distributed dataset called The Pile. And the remaining defendants, the suit alleges, adopted it as foundational training material. Kyle Roche, a partner at the firm that filed the complaint, stated that the message was unambiguous. Companies cannot build billion-dollar technologies on stolen creative expression. Whether the courts agree will determine much about the future of both American letters and American technology. Turning now to the affairs of the Republic. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has unilaterally struck the names of at least 6 officers from military promotion lists, and the pattern of those removals tells a story that no amount of rhetoric about meritocracy can obscure. The facts, as reported by the New York Times and independently confirmed by NPR, are these. Hegseth removed 4 Army officers, 2 black men and 2 women, from the promotion list for 1-star general, a list consisting of roughly 36 names, most of them white men.
2 additional colonels from another service branch, 1 black and 1 female, were also blocked. Army Secretary Daniel Driscoll repeatedly refused to remove the officers, citing their decades of exemplary service. Hegseth then struck the names himself, a step whose legality his own senior officials had been debating internally for months. The pretexts do not survive examination. One Black combat veteran was targeted because he wrote an academic paper more than a decade ago analyzing why African American soldiers historically gravitated towards support roles rather than frontline combat positions. He was penalized, in other words, for producing scholarship about a documented reality of military service. Another officer was struck because she served during the Afghanistan withdrawal, an operation her fellow officers believed she executed competently under catastrophic conditions whose origins lay in decisions made far above her rank. The principle at stake here is not sentimental. It is structural. It is the reason the American Armed Forces have sustained lethal professionalism across 7 decades of the all-volunteer era. When advancement becomes a political act, the foundation of military trust begins to crack. Still in the agora, and to the matter of governance itself, the Department of Homeland Security has now been unfunded for 44 days, longer than any government shutdown in the history of the United States, and every member of Congress who might end it has left the Capitol for Easter recess. The record was set on March the 29th, according to NBC News. The Department of Homeland Security is the third largest agency in the federal government, with 260,000 personnel, spanning the Coast Guard, FEMA, the Secret Service, and the TSA. The proximate cause is a dispute over immigration and customs enforcement. Senate Democrats have refused to fund ICE without guardrails on enforcement operations, requirements for visible identification, restrictions on raids near schools and churches, and judicial warrants before agents enter private property. These demands intensified after 2 American citizens were fatally shot by federal officers in Minneapolis earlier this year. Republicans counter that the demands are designed to obstruct rather than reform. The legislative maneuvering of late March produced a unanimous Senate voice vote on a bill that the House subsequently gutted and returned as something unrecognizable. And then everyone went home. That is the fact that requires no interpretation. The political class rendered its judgment on the security of the American homeland, and it decided that recess was more urgent. And finally, from the agora, the voice of the people themselves. On Saturday, March the 28th, more than 8 million Americans gathered at upward of 3,300 events in all 50 states in what organizers declared the largest single-day nonviolent protest in modern American history. Solidarity demonstrations unfolded on 6 continents. The Associated Press, NBC, CBS, ABC, PBS, Reuters, and dozens of regional outlets confirmed crowds of extraordinary scale from Manhattan to rural Idaho. The flagship rally at the Minnesota State Capitol drew an estimated 200,000 people. Minnesota was chosen as the movement's central stage for reasons that cut to the bone. The Twin Cities remain a flashpoint following the January killings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy, 2 American citizens shot by federal agents during the immigration enforcement campaign known as Operation Metro Surge. Bruce Springsteen performed his protest song, Streets of Minneapolis, before a crowd stretching across the Capitol lawn. Robert De Niro addressed tens of thousands in New York. Hundreds filled the National Mall in Washington. Whether these numbers prove precisely accurate under independent scrutiny is, for the purposes of national analysis, beside the point. Something very large happened on Saturday. 8 million Americans stood in public squares and asked a question that no government can indefinitely refuse to answer. That is TCT Daily Report for Thursday, April 2nd, 2026. The Commonwealth Times. Pro Republica Edificamus.